The talk we are going through now and the tool I want to present to you now is a tool of the melodic line. Now, before we go into this tool, let's see where we are on the path. We start always with a text of Scripture. And, you know, all of us have the instinct, okay, so what does this have to do with us today? But we're saying, that's not the way to get to today. We will need to get to today, but that's not the way to go to today. We got to take the long route, and we're going up to them then. We've learned the tool of structure. We've learned the tool of context. Ryan took us to another big move to the gospel. Where is this tool we call the melodic line fitting on this path? Well, it takes us back to the vertical line. Oops, I just undid that. It takes us back to the vertical line. And really, it's another tool here, the melodic line. Because it helps us to make sense of the text that we are dealing with as it was first understood by the original audience, to them then. Probably though what I would say is on this melodic line in terms of the timing is the melodic line tool is something that actually in terms of chronology should really happen here. It's a kind of work, it's a tool you use before you actually dig into your text. You want to get a sense of the whole book before you start preaching through each of the individual passages. The principle is simple. That's the drawing, the melodic line, the music notes there. The principle is simple. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message. A message that is coherent and sustained together. And uncovering that message or discovering it is the key to better understanding each of the passages that you are working through in that book. Now, in a melodic line, each note, you know, going back to the drawing, each note, so whether it's this one or this one, each note represents one of the key elements of the book, a major theme, or a repeated idea, or a purpose. And a melodic line will have several such notes. It's not just one note. The notes of the melodic line will vary based on what you see in each book. Some of the notes may be whole notes. Others are quarter notes. And they're also arranged in a unique way. So just as a melody has certain key notes arranged in a particular order and length, the message of a book will have several elements connected together, arranged in a particular order, to form a message that is unique to that book. Our task as preachers or teachers of God's Word, or simply students of God's Word, is to develop the discipline to listen well enough and long enough to try to capture the keynotes that make the melodic line and do it in a short and clear statement. The melodic line helps you answer the question, what is the message of the whole book? This tool helps you and I understand what is the message of the whole book. So I want to convince you of the importance of starting on this tool early. Actually, I would say a few months before you actually get into preaching through a book. Don't start preaching or teaching through a book and try to familiarize yourself the week before you start. You will not listen well. You will not have time to let the notes really simmer in, your mind to be soaked in to the various notes of the book. You need time for that. So I want to encourage you to think about at least 3 to 6 months in advance start getting your mind into the book you're going to preach next in various ways. Now, what are some strategies? We want to look for some strategies to do the melodic line. What do you think are some strategies we can do to do the melodic line? Read it. One, read it. What's the second one? Oh my goodness, you guys read my notes. Reread. Yes. Read it in one sitting, if you can. Then read it slowly. So the pacing, how you read. Mix it up from, you know, when you do the rereadings. Read in a different version, a different translation. The point is, read it devotionally. But the point is just immerse yourself into the book several times before you actually get to work through through the individual passages. As you read, there are some other things you should do as you read. What are some things we can read or do as we read the book? What are some places we can look to? What are some things we can be looking for as we are reading? What do you all think?
It starts and ends.
Yes. We call it top and tail. Yes, how it starts and ends. Why would you do that?
See what happens in the book. You can get a pretty clear picture from the start and the end of what the middle part does.
Yeah, and the beginning and the end, it'll be the place that introduces some big concepts, and the ending will be a place that's going to sort of like land the plane on all those concepts. And if there's any overlap between those, that's a clue. That's going to be an important note, because if it's coming at the beginning, coming at the end, that's an easy low-hanging fruit to start thinking about an important note that should make it into that melodic line. So top and tail is a big one. Other ones?
Purpose statements.
Yeah, purpose statements. Purpose. Why is that important?
Sometimes those statements are telling you directly why.
Yes, that's a good one. Here's what I would, it tells you why it was written. What's the effect it wants to have? Oftentimes in the book of Revelation, for example, we don't have an explicit like purpose statement. But you have something close to that category. It's a statement of intended effect. So what's the effect that this book is telling me it wants to have on me? Like that should be a big thing to think about. Yeah, so that would be one note, right, to think about. The call to endure. That would be an example of a, and is that repeated throughout the book, right? So you want to see, is that repeated elsewhere? So purpose statement or statement of effect. What else would you put in other strategies?
I don't know if this is fair, but preaching it, sometimes the melodic line changes as you preach it.
Yeah, so if you preach it, the melodic line changes as you preach it. Here's yes to that. It has happened. It has happened to me as I have been preaching through it. I was like, wow, I see some things that make me modify my melodic line for sure. But one thing I would say with that is don't wait.
That means you fail.
Yes, don't start on the melodic line until you started preaching or after you start preaching. So yeah, but it has a direction, and you bring up something right here. The melodic line is provisional. It's not an absolute statement. You know, it's you realize as you work through the book, you're going to be making changes to it for sure. There's at least two more tools I want, or strategies I want us to identify for helping with a melodic line.
Repetition.
Yes. So whether it's words, but don't get stuck on the words. So repetition. And here we are dealing with, words. But don't stay there. Concepts. Images. Or phrases. Where they show up. And here's the other one. How are they being used? It's not only the fact that they're repeated X amount of times. It's for what purpose are they being employed in the book? All right, and then here there's another one I want us to see. Fifth one, at least.
Development?
What do you mean by that?
So like character development, or just like the idea that a melodic line, it develops over time, and it
evolves. Yeah, which true. Development, let me macro structure of the book.
Yeah.
How the whole book is developed. So not just one theme developed, but how the whole book fits. So I would call it macro structure. A sense in which, you know, the initial ideas you get in the beginning, or repetitions of terms, how is the book shaped to reflect those ideas? How does it develop those ideas? So the macro structure. These are the five key things to be looking for as you do the reading and the rereading. Listen for these key ideas. Once you've listened for them, put them down on paper. Like, just create a list of the notes. Don't trust your mind. Put them down on paper. Write them out. Ideally, even just write them by hand. And just stare at them. And then start thinking, how do these relate together? What is the relationship between these notes? Which are the long notes? Or which are the ones that just show up constantly all the time? Again, it really helps to do this when you actually have written it down. And then the next step, so strategies, these are things you do as you read. I'm going to put here another line. So list the notes that you get from the first five strategies. And then arrange them. In a short sentence. Do the work that composers do with melodic lines and with songs. Create the song, if you will, by having these notes that you've collected and say, hey, let me put together a melodic line for this book. This is your synthesis. This is the way you understand the book. And a key term is it's provisional. You can modify it as you keep listening. As you start preaching and teaching, you'll make changes to it, tweaks to it. Tinker with the words to capture the melodic line in a memorable way. One of the challenges when you have a bunch of notes, and in Revelation you can have a bunch of notes in this list, is to have too much. And you have to prioritize to say what's going to make it into that line. Synthesize your words, tinker with them, be a wordsmithy kind of guy. And here's the other thing I would encourage you to do. Develop several versions. 5, 7, 10. Put them down. Walk away from them, come back next time. And that process just helps you. You see new things. It helps you really simmer down, synthesize this melodic line. Here's a caution I would give you in what not to do. Don't read commentaries for the melodic line. Two dangers with them. One, some of the commentaries are just not good at doing that. Those who are very good at doing that will stop you listening for it. So don't do that work, the commentary stuff on the melodic line. Give yourself the freedom to actually do your own work on it. Those are my encouragements on the do's and don'ts of the melodic line. Let's go into some practice. Let's do the tool. We're going to use a tool of top and tail. You guys are ready. We've worked through parts of Revelation 1:1-3, but I really want to look at 1-8, and then chapter 22, verses 6-21. And the only thing I'm interested for you guys to look at is what are the repeated ideas? What shows up in 1:1-8 that gets repeated in 6-21? Go to your groups and have one of you guys read these passages and list some ideas. All right, let's hear some answers. What do we see in 1-8 that gets repeated in 22?
blessing for reading.
Blessing? Yes. Where's that? Verse 3. Blessing shows up in verse 3. 22:7. And 22:7. Yes, does that have to get repeated?
Yeah.
Yep, identity of Jesus. Actually, of God and Jesus, the language, right? God and Christ. Okay. What verses are that?
1:8 and 22:13.
Yeah. All right, others. Grace in verse what?
Chapter 1, verse 4.
Oh, verse 4, yep.
And then verse 21 in chapter 22.
21, yep. What else?
Words of prophecy.
Prophecy, okay.
3 and 7,
okay.
Coming soon,
okay. Does that get repeated? What verse? What 7?
22:10.
Yeah, 10. That shows up a few more times. What 16? And is it 21?
20.
All right, what else?
Churches.
Oh, I'm glad that got
4 and 16.
Okay. What about the testimony of Jesus? Or Revelation? Yeah, so Revelation/testimony of Jesus. Testimony. Again, just don't think just words, but concepts. So that shows up, verse 1, 2, and that shows up again in, 16? These are some of the notes. Now, wow, that's a lot of notes. I'm not sure what to do with this yet. But let's say that's all you do. You just use a strategy. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and think about an initial, very, very provisional melodic line. What would you say if that's all you have? What is the book of Revelation about? Talk some ideas. All right, I'll leave these notes. Okay. I'm going to ask some suggestions, so make sure your table has some suggestions to offer. Imagine you have to write a song on the book of Revelation. What's the melodic line you would have to put in if you're creating a song on the book of Revelation? And the song "He's Worthy" is already taken. All right, let's hear some ideas, guys. This is provisional work. We're just trying to practice the idea of taking some notes and then putting them together in a short sentence. All right, let's start here with my right. Wow, a lot of notes. Could you say that again without reading what you said?
No.
That's a problem. The point about the melodic line is to also be memorable. That's why the power of a melodic line in a song is you hear those notes, you remember quickly. So, but you gave us the Alpha and the Omega is coming soon. Hey, if that's all you heard, and somebody asks you which book of the Bible is he going to be preaching from, could you say it's Revelation? Mission accomplished. See the point? All right, let's hear on this side. Table there. Go for it. All right, wow. Got the blessing in the churches. Okay. Thank you. And you said it without looking at notes. Kudos. All right, others. I'm going to open up to others who are ready to share. Two or three more. I know you guys have done the work. Come on.
Jesus reveals to his churches who he is to keep his words until he comes.
All right. Good one. Thank you. Others? People get ready. Jesus is coming. Wow. I can preach. Yes, one more here. Wow. Church, hear this, that the Alpha and the Omega has worked, is working, and will work. Great. Guys, this is an initial exercise. Let's do a second strategy, the macro structure. Now, this one, we could spend a lot of time on this one. I'm going to give you some bones. I'm going to put them in a particular order, but there's a number of ways these bones could be arranged. But I want to just consider some very broad categories or movements in the book of Revelation. On one side, you have chapter 1, intro of Jesus. Chapter 2 and 3 would be the letters to churches. Chapter 4 to what? I'm going to say 5. Vision of God and Lamb. 6, and here's, I'm going to just make a broad, six, I'm going to go to 16. Because there is a sustained repetition of ideas from 6 to 16. Can you tell me what that is? Seals, trumpets, and bowls. I mean, the clarity of that is so clear, you cannot miss that part. So just thinking through the three cycles of seals, trumpets, bowls. Now, if we were to go a little more granular in this large section, you would find out that at least 3 times the story of these cycles is broken up, is hit pause on, and there's what's called interludes, or just moments when the story of God's judgments are being put to the sideline and something else is being introduced. 3 interludes. I'm just going to put it off here. 7, 1 through 17 is the people of God. Ryan just took us to that. Chapter 10, 1 through 11, 14 are 2 images of commission, John's and the 2 witnesses. And then chapter 12 through 14. Here we see dragon, beasts, 2 beasts, and worshipers. All right. The last 2, and especially the last one, is a key part of making sense why the judgment of God is coming on the world. Why there's a cycle of three cycles of judgments. It explains the source of the war or the conflict in the book of Revelation. At the end of the 21 plagues, we are told that the wrath of God is completed and finished, and you feel like by the end of chapter 16, it's all over. But you realize it's not, The story goes on. 17. I'm gonna go all the way to 22, verse 5. And you realize, like, wait, 17 is judgment. Well, I thought judgment was in chapters 6 through 16 already. Why are we keeping the theme of judgment? And here's a clue. In Revelation, the material is not presented chronologically. The development of the book is not chronological. So we introduced our kids this year, finally, to Star Wars. I know it's late. We had to make a big decision. And what's a big decision? You have to decide if you're going to start working through Star Wars. Are you going to watch the movie or the movies in the order they were made, revealed, or in the way the chronology of the story unfolds? All right, now, what we did, you can ask me later, but here's my point. Revelation is the same way. The story, the sequence in which these episodes are revealed is not the chronology of the events in the story. That's going to be huge. That's what explains the more judgment in chapter 17 and 18, when we've already been told earlier, in the earlier chapters, that the prostitute Babylon, the Babylon, has been already judged. What you have is a retelling of the story, or going back to give more details of the why and the how. So in chapter 17 through 22:5, you have two major characters that are women. You have the prostitute and the bride. And in between, you get some war scenes. And the big characters that were introduced in the last interlude in 12 through 14, those big characters are now exiting in this section. Dragon, beast, prostitute are out. So after that is the conclusion. All right. Now, this is one way to do the macro structure. I did the heavy lifting for you because there's no way we could do all this in a short span of time. Here's what I'd like you to do. Talk to your neighbor. What are some notes you would identify from this macro structure? And how would that make it into the melodic line? So the questions are on the board here. What are the keynotes from the macro structure? How can you incorporate these into your melodic line? Guys, this is going to be provisional, so I don't want to give you the impression that you can do this melodic line in like 15 minutes. We are trying to really like microwave this and speed up this process, which normally would take a lot longer. All right, what are some ideas? What are some notes you are hearing from the macro structure? Enemies of God, war, battle, conflict. What about that?
The dragon and the beast.
Yeah. So, war, conflict, enemies of God. Okay, that's a note. Others? The seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman.
Yeah.
So
you got
the
God versus the dragon.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. That's a great one. Others? Yeah, so judgment that will be completed. Yeah. How would you incorporate these in the melodic line? Have you given thought and ways in which you would tweak the melodic line? I've already heard some ideas here. Based on what you already said in the first time of the melodic line, what would you add to that melodic line to bring in a note from this macro structure?
Judgment.
The judgment? So how would you do that in a melodic line? What's a melodic line you guys did, and how would you put that in the melodic line?
Well, I'm just thinking of how the first from the top and tail exercise we did, judgment wasn't in there.
That's right. See, so
prophecy,
yes. Yeah. So the note of judgment was not in the top and tail. So bringing that in and figuring out a way how that's going to fit in with the other notes from the top and tail. Yep. So Jesus is, how would you put it? Jesus is coming back to conquer his enemies or to bring full, complete judgment. Okay? Others? Any other ideas? Yes. Man, the king slays the dragon and gets the girl. Wow.
College ministry.
All right. Who wants to go after that? Well, and this is one of the strategies. I want to take us to one more strategy really quick. Repetition of key terms. All right, repetition of key terms. Look up these references. 2:7, verse 11, 2 verse 7, verse 11, verse 17, verse 26, chapter 3, 5, 12, 21, and then chapter 21, verse 7. What is repeated, and how is this repetition, what is this repetition doing for the book? What is this repetition doing for the book? Talk to your neighbor. Share some ideas. What is repeated and what is this repetition doing for the book? All right, let's hear some answers. It's a pretty clear answer on the first question. What is repeated? The phrase, the one who conquers. Is that person defined? Do we know? Is this talking about Jesus? I mean, he conquers in the book, doesn't he? Is this conquering talking about Jesus? No. Who is he talking about? People. The church. Now, what is this repetition? Did you notice where it's repeated? Where? At the end of the letters. Which letters? How many of them? Seven. All of them. Do you think that matters? That every one of the churches would actually get the same sort of like challenge or promise. And then that shows up again where? At the end, when it's being presented, when the New Jerusalem is being presented. Right? So what does this do? What does this repetition do for the book? What's the intended effect of this repetition, of this phrase, of this term doing for the book? Perseverance? Like, in what way?
Of enduring in spite of all this.
Yeah, encouraging to persevere in spite of what? When you think of conquering, what other sort of image or theme comes up with conquering? War. Did we see that again earlier in the book? Yeah, it was huge in the macrostructure. So all of a sudden now you see these different structures, strategies are overlapping some of these notes. That means you better have something about the notion of conflict and some level of, are you gonna side with the winning side? You know, it's easy for us to think about Revelation is about who's gonna win. We know who's winning. Well, but, and that's true, that's part of the note, we know who's winning. But there's also a sense in which there's a challenge and a promise to make sure you're on the side of the winner. How will one be a conqueror? Well, Ryan took us already in chapter 7, we were told, by following the Lamb. So, again, this is a provisional line, so you'd have to think about ways in which your provisional line will have a, if you will, a punch or a call to recognize this is not just about the victory of the Lamb. This has to do also with where we are going to be in that victory, in that war, if you will. All of this, these are just some strategies how to think about the melodic line. Again, the melodic line is provisional. Here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like to pivot and think about another aspect of the melodic line. The melodic line is only helpful if you're going to put it to use. So I want to pivot now and think through, in light of the melodic line, provisional, as you guys have worked through, I'd like for us to consider the benefits of the melodic line. It is that the first one and the biggest benefit is that it actually gives you a better grasp of each text if you understand its relation to the melodic line. So the usefulness of the melodic line is not just so that you have a good summary of the book of Revelation. I mean, that is a usefulness, but where it really pays off is if you know what to do with that when you start preaching each text individually. Otherwise, you just have a nice, sweet sort of summary statement on the book. Here's some ways to think about the relationship between the melodic line and your text, or your text and the melodic line. Two questions to consider. Is the melodic line loud or soft in your text? You know, the melodic line will not be always front stage in your text. There are passages where it's going to be soft in the background. There's other passages where it's going to come to the foreground powerfully. And then there's types of relationships, especially where it comes to the foreground. Is your passage supporting the melodic line? Is it showing a particularity of the melodic line, an expansion, more details of what's in the melodic line? Or is it a contrast? It's the opposite of what you expect. All right? So is it loud or soft? And then is it supporting particularity or contrast? I'd like to use those concepts and work on two passages that we've already done in our small groups. You don't have to read the passages. I just want you guys to ask these questions. In chapter 1, 9 through 20, we saw the picture of Jesus, the vision of the exalted Christ who has a message for his churches. I want you to talk to your neighbor and ask and answer this question. Is the melodic line loud or soft in this passage? And then determine what's the relationship of this text to your melodic line. Talk this over with your neighbor. All right, let's hear some suggestions. Loud or soft? What do y'all think?
Loud.
Why?
You're given
an incredible vision of Jesus, the one who conquered what?
Death.
All right? Powerful, victorious over death. Yes. And what else? What else is coming up from the melodic line that's in this text?
Not only will John fall down, but so will everybody else.
Yeah, all will fall down, not just John, okay?
The churches.
How does that affect? Oh, yes, because it's coming with the idea of it's written for the churches. Yep. Anything else? How about the notion of revelation testimony? Did that come up in this vision? Not the word so much, but the fact that he has a message to communicate. Like he has something, and it's for the churches. All right, so yes, it's a loud presence of the melodic line. It sets up the stage of who's the winner. We already know. I mean, this guy is gonna win at the end. This is the first description. And in terms of what's the relationship, support, particularity, or contrast? Definitely not contrast. All right, support. How many of you think it's support? Supporting the line. Just a few? Okay. Particularity? All right, a few more? All right, I need you guys to respond. We have just a few more minutes left here. Yes, you get here a picture of who is launching this war. Who is going to battle the dragon and the beast? So it's setting up the conflict. All right, let's do another exercise. And for the sake of time, I'm going to divide up in two parts. The right part here, you guys will look at the text we've already covered in small group, Revelation 2:1-7. The church, the message to the church of Ephesus. Same question, is the melodic line loud or soft in this passage? And what's the relationship? And on my left, same questions, but we're going to look at the passage Revelation 11:1-13. We've already considered that text yesterday in context, so you already know some of the, what's going on in that text. Answer the same questions. Is the melodic line loud or soft? What's the relationship? All right, let's hear some answers. I know our time is short, and you guys could talk longer to figure this out, but let's go to Revelation 2:7. Is the melodic line loud or soft?
Soft.
Soft? Loud?
Soft.
Soft? Loud. All right, the people who said it's loud, what makes you think it's loud? All right, here the consequences are dramatic. It's removing the lampstand. All right.
It says to the one who conquers, which fits it directly into the theme of the whole book.
The one who conquers directly fits with the theme of the whole book. All right. Revealing the church, enemies, the one who conquers. There is also another clue in verse 5. What happens if the church does not heed the call to repent? What is Jesus saying he will do before he says that I'm removing your lampstand? He's going to come. Is that a note for the melodic line of Revelation? So what effect does that have on how you think about the big message of the book of Revelation? Because you may think about Jesus is coming, and in my mind and yours, we're thinking eschatology, last day when he comes to wipe out the whole earth. Here he's saying, I'm coming even now to deal with your sin or your lack of repentance. Don't think of the coming of Jesus as only that which happens at the end of the age. That's surprising. That's a particularity of the melodic line in ways that perhaps you would not catch it in other parts. You see how that works? Now, you would only get that if you're asking the question, how is my text related to the melodic line of the whole book? Is it present or not? And if so, how? All right, Revelation 11. What did you guys come up here? Is it loud or loud or soft?
Soft.
Would anyone want to challenge it? All right. Why do you say soft? So it's just two witnesses. I mean, my goodness, the book is about the whole world, right? So this is just two guys, and they seem to be losing. Definitely doesn't seem like connecting to the big picture that we know the winner and he'll win, right? So what do you do with that? Is it a support, particularly a contrast?
I would call it contrast.
A contrast, yep. Well, they do end up conquering in the end, but on this earth, what do they experience?
Suffering
and defeat. When people hear the book of Revelation, we know who's winning. What are you typically expecting to hear? When is that winning happening? Somehow, like, it's going to affect us in the here and now. There's somewhat of a... It's going to turn out well in the end on this side of eternity. And this chapter 11 actually says, no, it may not. On this side of eternity, it may not turn out well. And we need to be ready for that. God's people need to be ready for that. That's a very different note than the triumphalistic, optimistic, powerful, like, we're just going to blow through this. Like, no, you need to be, this is a passage that's going to bring up the sobriety. What Ryan talked about, the difficulty of the journey, the length of the journey, and this is for us. So that's, I think you nailed it in the terms of it's a contrast. I actually think it's a loud one because of the conflict shows up really powerful. The beast shows up mentioned directly in the text, so I think it's more powerful, but it's powerful in the negative notes. Brothers, we need to wrap this up, and just I hope that you have seen a little bit of the both the how to think about the melodic line, how to create one, how to go about making it, and then how to use it. Just as every song has a unique melody, every book of the Bible has a unique message, a coherent, sustained message. The two diagnostic questions that I want to leave with you: what's the message of the book? How does my text relate to the message of the book? Brothers, it takes extra work to do this, and I just want to encourage you, this is the work you do before you start preaching through the book.